Bites podcast. This one reviewing episode 5 of The Last of Us. Just finished watching it a little while ago. Actually, it's been a couple hours since I finished watching it because I was watching a little bit of the vodka stream because my buddy Seek, who I spoke to a few episodes ago, is a guest on there. Go check that out if you get a chance. I tweeted out the link for that. But yeah, episode 5 of The Last of Us, titled Endure and Survive, which is a very popular phrase for fans of The Last of Us. And the story picks up on this episode. At the beginning, we flash back to 10 days earlier than where we were in episode 4, where we get to see the aftermath of, more or less the aftermath of Kathleen's rebellion against Fedra. And we see Henry and Sam hiding out, trying to escape from them because they are being hunted down, as we already established in episode 4. And we actually learn from this flashback that Henry had essentially sold out Kathleen's brother to Fedra. And we would learn through dialogue between Henry and Joel later on that he did it to secure help for his brother Sam, because Sam had been diagnosed with leukemia, and which is a completely different backstory compared to the video game, because in the video game I don't really remember if they go into too much detail about who Henry and Sam are and why they were on the run. But that's why I love the show, because these characters that we just get a little bit of in the game, they're expanding on their backstories, and I enjoy when they do that kind of thing. And we learned that Kathleen's brother was the one that actually was leading the resistance, the rebellion on here against Fedra, but that he was a man of morals and conscience, basically. And then Kathleen said that when the last conversation they had, when he was, you know, her brother was captured in the cell before he is tortured and beaten to death, that he tells her to forgive Henry. And of course, she does not. That's why he is being hunted, as well as Sam. And we get a lot more backstory with, we spend more time with Henry and Sam, which I enjoyed that. And because it gives us a better sense of their relationship on there and how truly protective Henry is of Sam. And, you know, we get to really see that protective older brother sentiment and mentality on here. And because we've seen in the teaser, also we've seen in the teaser posters and the trailers and the clips, the little thing over Henry's face or Sam's face is because in the place that they were hiding out on, he had drawn a bunch of little superhero stuff, like of himself as a superhero. So then Henry decides to, like, he asks Sam to close his eyes, and then he paints a little mask over his face, you know, to match the little character that Sam had created. And also on the show, and also the actor in real life, is deaf, which is a very interesting dynamic that just kind of, I mean, if you have people who have seen The Quiet Place, or A Quiet Place rather, you know, they have the oldest daughter, she's deaf, just like in real life. The actress is also deaf, and that kind of element where sound is a very important thing in these, you know, dystopian apocalyptic worlds, having a character who cannot hear and is not able to process and understand it like others who are able to hear, just makes the story just a little bit more interesting, in my opinion. And then we catch up to where we left off in episode 4, where we see Henry and Sam with their guns pointed at Joel and Ellie, and we would learn later on that actually the guns are empty. They don't have any ammunition. And we get some more callbacks and references to the game, because Henry and Sam, they offer to team up with Joel and Ellie, because we see in the flashback that the gunfight that Joel has with the resistance, rebels, or whatever you want to call them, in episode 4, we see that Henry is actually in a building across the street watching it all happen. So that's how he knew that Joel is not part of them, that Joel is someone that he can trust, he knows that he can take care of himself, and he can, in essence, protect them on their path trying to escape Kansas City. So he says they're going to team up, and then we get kind of like a little reference to the game where like they go into an office building and lay out the plan of how they're going to escape, where they're going to, how they're going to go about it. And rather than going in through a whole little action sequence like in the game where, you know, they have to go through this guarded gate and go across a bridge, on here they're going to navigate through tunnels, like a maintenance tunnel pathway, which we actually get some of the references that I had spoken about, where in the game they go through a sewer tunnels, and here it's the maintenance tunnels, and we get the little settlement camp things, where you see like a little makeshift classroom, and you know, just like in the game, and have the little makeshift soccer goal, and then we get more of the stuff that get in the game where, and I was so excited and happy that we got it. We got a Savage Starlight comic finally, and I know Sinister Cinema, he's gonna get excited for that, because in his review, one of his last videos of reviewing the show, was hoping that we'll get a Savage Starlight comic, and thank God that we did, because I got so excited for that, because again, all the little references and details I get so excited for, because I love the games so, so much, and we get a lot of the dialogue that matches it as well, where we see Ellie and Sam bonding because they are children, and children bond very easily. And Joel and Henry being that protective, those protective father-like figures. And just performances from everybody is just so, so, so well done. And also, Jeffrey Pierce's character, I kept calling him Jeremy in the last video. The character is actually Perry. I don't know where I got Jeremy from. Probably I was thinking about Pearl Jam. I don't know. But yeah, the character is Perry, and I'm sorry that I kept getting it wrong in the last video. But yeah, great performance by him. It's just kind of hard for me to separate him playing Tommy in the game, because the voice is so distinct that every time I hear him speak, all I think about is him as Tommy and Last of Us Part 1 and Part 2. But anyways, then we get, the little tunnelway, and then we get to the suburb area where we get the sniper sequence just like in the game, although it's not exactly the same, where there's like a whole, you know, gang of hunters, and then the sniper on the house all the way at the end of the street. And also this part takes place at night, and Joel, just like in the game, he decides to go around the other houses and the abandoned cars to go into through the back of the house and take out the sniper, and he does. And then that's when we get Kathleen and Perry and the rest of the group with their armored vehicles coming down through the street to hunt down Henry, Sam, and then Joel and Ellie. And that's where we get, like, when we got in the teaser, we see Ellie running, shooting at them. That's where we get that little teaser from. Joel is in there with the sniper rifle, ready to go as soon as he needs to. And then Kathleen telling Henry to, you know, to come out, and Henry's just, you know, begging to, you know, say, "I'll come out, but, you know, but spare the children." And Kathleen, you know, talking about how, you know, the girl is with the man who killed Brian, and then Sam, he's with you, and she's like, you know, like, "I know why you did it. I understand why you did it, but do you think that maybe, you know, he was supposed to die, and, you know, the whole theme of, you know, tempting fate and all that stuff." And then they all talk in the behind the scenes, you know, clip they show after the episode, how they talked about, again, that the whole central theme of it is people doing things out of love for the people that they love, and not doing it with logic and reason and rationality, that this is just people acting on the instinct of love and protecting their loved ones, because that is the essential central theme of The Last of Us story, Part 1 and Part 2. You know, that the power of love the good and bad side of of the spectrum of love. That's what it is. That Henry, out of love for his brother Sam and protecting Sam, gave up Kathleen's brother, and that's where the shit went down, and, you know, the rebellion happened, the resistance happened, and Kathleen came into power to lead this group against Fedra, and in doing so, she ignored the threat of the infected, because according to Henry, the Fedra had lured all the infected underground and were able to maintain them underground for about 15 years, I believe is the time frame that he said. And through the gunfight we get a little bit of a gunfight on this part also, and kind of like in the game with Joel having the sniper rifle. Once, you know, you make your way through there and you're trying to protect Henry, Sam, and Ellie, and the armored tank that has the big plow thing on the front that says run, Joel shoots that, again, kind of like in the game, but in the game it's the guy throwing Molotov cocktails, and you shoot him so that he drops it, it explodes in the car, and then they crash into a house. And here, he doesn't have a cocktail thing, but he shoots him, he crashes into one of the neighboring houses, and the fuel, you know, and the heat from the engine sparks a fire, and it explodes, and as Kathleen is getting ready to kill Henry when he gives himself up to them, we see the armored tank is pulled underground, and that's where we get the humongous horde of infected coming out and just hacking up everybody. And there was one, there was a child infected, which is interesting because they didn't have any infected children in the game, so that was just an interesting thing to see. And I don't know who the actress was that played the infected child, but she was very acrobatic and made me wonder, like, is this the same stunt actress that they used for the Megan movie? And I'm curious about that because the movement looked very, very much like it. And also, this is where we finally get the introduction to the bloater. And I'm pretty sure it was at least 90% CGI, but the phenomenal work done. And even the neighborhood that they were in, the abandoned suburban neighborhood, that was half practical, half CGI, and it looked phenomenal. It looked so realistic and authentic. And again, hats off to the production crew, the props people, the production designers, the visual effects people for making all of this look so real and authentic and believable. And I'm reminded of, it was an episode of Pod Meets World, where Ryder Strong was talking about the visual effects and production designers of Todd Phillips' Joker film, and praising how much work and how great of a job they did recreating that late 70s, early 80s New York City aesthetic for their version of Gotham City for the film. And I have to give the same sentiment to the production people for The Last of Us, creating these beautiful environments that look so real, so genuine, so authentic, and just an amazing, phenomenal job. But yeah, the bloater looked exactly like it was plucked from the video game, perfectly designed, and Perry falls victim to the bloater and is killed just like the way the bloater kills you in the game, where he grabs you by the head, snaps you, and rips your head off. And it's so beautifully brutal, and I loved every second of it. So beautifully done, so powerful, such an awesome job done on this episode. I honestly, seriously, every episode, we're 5 episodes in, we got 4 more left. It has been seriously banger after banger after banger, to steal a phrase from the Brawling Brutes and Seamus. I have not been disappointed at all. I don't feel like any episode has been weak, in my opinion. I know other people have felt differently, especially for episode 3. None of these episodes have felt weak, in my opinion. Each one has been strong, told a strong story, had featured strong performances from everybody. And I know a lot of people had their criticisms of Melanie Lynskey for episode 4, saying that she's not believable, she's not intimidating enough to be a leader of a rebellion. And it's like, yeah, that's kind of the point. You look at her, and you don't think she'll be the leader of a group of rebels, of a resistance group. But that that is the thing. Like, she doesn't look like it, but yet she is. And you have, and that's where you have to wonder what happened that put her in that position of power, you know? And then she eventually gets killed by the child infected, which is just an whole interesting situation. And I love that. And then they finally, Joel, Ellie, Henry, and Sam escape, and they go to a nearby abandoned house where the a radio tower, like in the game, they go to an abandoned motel, and they are stationed over there. And then we see Ellie and Sam in one of the rooms. They're reading the Savage Starlight comic, and then they have the conversation, like in the game, about talking about what they're scared of. And because of the actor playing Sam being deaf, I don't know, to me it just felt a little more emotional and dramatic because of that. And one thing that was different though about it, because in the game none of them know that he's been bitten and he's infected yet, but he opens himself up to Ellie and shows the bite on his leg. And in her trying to be the hero, she says that her blood is medicine, and she cuts her hand open and tries to, you know, heal him with her blood. Which, as soon as that happened, my heart broke. It really did, because it's like, oh, her heart is in the right place, but it was useless. And then it cuts to the next morning, and they're both awake, and even sadder about this, like, because Sam asked her, said, "Promise me to stay awake with me." And she did, but then she falls asleep, and then she goes over to check on Sam, and he's succumbed to the infection. They burst through the door. He's trying to attack her. Joel, just like in the game, tries to go for the gun to stop him. Henry stops him from grabbing the gun, and just like in the game, kills Sam. And then him, being so wrought with guilt, kills himself as well. Ah. And then another little detail that we don't get in the game, we actually see Joel and Ellie burying them in the field outside of where the motel is. And then the little pad that Sam was using throughout the whole episode to communicate with everybody, if, you know, because the only people who are able to speak with him with ASL, you know, American Sign Language, is his brother Henry. And so he would use this little pad to communicate with everybody else, and that's how he communicated with Ellie. And then Ellie placing that pad on Sam's grave, just simple note, simply saying, "I'm sorry." And then she starts walking off and just asks, "Where's West?" And then they start heading off west to go to Wyoming, where Tommy is, and try to know where the Fireflies are so that they can find a cure. And that's where we leave off for episode 5 of The Last of Us. Another strong episode. Again, my opinion. Others are going to feel differently, and that is okay. That is their opinion. They have the right to that opinion. It is all, entertainment and art is all subjective. And I will not shame you, tell you that you're wrong for feeling the way you feel if you don't feel the same way that I do. Because you're not wrong for feeling how you feel. That's how you feel. My opinion, my feeling, is that The Last of Us, these first 5 episodes have been strong from start to finish. I have no issues. Again, I have my little slight things of, oh, I wish I would have taken this from the game, but I'm okay with them not having it be a one-for-one, shot-for-shot, beat-by-beat, complete remake of the game. Because if I wanted that, I would just play the game. Simple as that. But yes, another strong episode. And I was thinking about it earlier today when I was at work, that once I'm done reviewing each individual episode, I'll do another show where I give a thought, my thoughts on the entire season overall, and, you know, what I would like to see them do for seasons 2, and if it is true that they're going to split part 2 into 2 seasons, then see what they would do for season 3. One thing though that I will say, that I've actually thought about this for a little bit too, that I have a feeling that we're going to see Abby, who I introduced to in part 2, we're going to see her in the season finale of this. But it's just they haven't announced any casting yet, because they probably want to keep that as a surprise. But that's just my theory. If we don't see Abby on the season 1, then okay. But I have a feeling that we're going to see her on the season finale. And I'm curious to see who they'll have as, you know, to play her on the show. But yeah, that's going to do it for my review of episode 5 of The Last of Us. I hope you enjoyed hearing me ramble on for the last 20 minutes of this. And if you'd like to discuss what your thoughts are on this episode and of the season so far, please, you can do so either commenting on the YouTube video or reaching out to me on my social media, Twitter, Instagram, Vero, Snapchat, TikTok. All the links will be in the description of this. And you can also support me on by purchasing something from my store, Mennonites Podcast Store. The link to there is in the description too. And also, if you're not subscribed, please do so. YouTube, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, all the direct links to that is in the Linktree link that's in the episode here as well. And yeah, thank you for watching, for listening, and for subscribing, for those of you who are. And I hope you all are doing well, staying safe, taking care of yourselves and your loved ones, staying healthy, being the beautiful people that I know you all are and can be. And you know, I also try to do a trailer reaction to the Flash trailer that's going to premiere this Sunday during the Super Bowl. And because we finally got the teaser poster, finally got the first posters, official posters for the movie. And it's just amazing that this film that was supposed to have come out 5 years ago is finally coming out now, coming out this June. And it's just, I'm excited to see what is going to come from it. I mean, there's a lot of rumors and speculation about what's going to happen with this film, especially the latest rumors regarding how the ending of the film has been altered yet again. And yeah, it will be interesting to see how that goes in 5 months when it comes out. And yeah, be sure to look out for my trailer reaction to that. And also check out my other reviews for The Last of Us episodes 1, 2, 3, and 4. And check out my reviews for the game Last of Us, the remastered version that I done. That was about an hour and a half for a review. And then my review for Last of Us Part 2. And checking out all my other stuff on here, my movie reviews that I have on here, you know, Halloween 2018, Halloween Kills, Halloween Ends, Spider-Man No Way Home, Spider-Man Far From Home, Avengers Endgame, Zack Snyder's Justice League, Captain Marvel, Fighting With My Family, X-Men, Dark Phoenix, all kinds of other movie reviews, my worst to best rankings that I'm going to try to get back into again, my classic wrestling pay-per-view shows, my retro film reviews, my other video game reviews for Marvel's Spider-Man Miles Morales, WWE 2K22, the Uncharted series. Yeah, this has been the Mennonites Podcast. I am Julian, and I will see all of you on the next one.